Good evening, everyone. I feel like there's a lot of things that we can be thankful for, and I am thankful for Josh tonight, who helped me get my notes printed. We had some printer issues at home, so thank you, Josh, for helping me with that. It was either going to be my phone or my memory to get through the message, and neither of those are very good, so thankfully we have notes. Can we just turn to Romans chapter 13? Romans 13, and we will read verses 11 to 14. Romans 13, verse 11 to 14. Verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfil the lusts thereof. Let's pray. Father, we again are grateful, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, that we have to come here tonight to, Lord, open your word, Lord, and to hear what you would have for us. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you are constantly speaking to us, Lord. You are constantly ministering to us. Lord, I pray that you would use me to bring the message to your people, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus on your word, Lord, that we would not allow any things to distract us, but Father, we would concentrate on you, Lord. We pray this is in your name. Amen. Okay, so that first little phrase in verse 11, and that knowing the time. If we think about it, how Paul intended this little phrase, it is applicable in a lot of areas in our lives. It's almost a phrase we can use to help provide guidance in our lives. It's, you know, if you permit me the kind of freedom to rephrase here, it's almost like he's saying, and so, knowing how close we are to his return, or perhaps it's saying, given we know what is coming, we should conduct this way. It is putting some context. It's a little phrase that it can really help contextualize all that we do. And that is what he is doing in this passage. We are people who know the time that he's talking about. It's not a secret to us what God has promised in his word. The time that Paul is talking about here, he's speaking of here, is not unfamiliar. It is not something that we do not know. When it says that knowing the time, we know exactly what he's talking about. And this was the first challenge to me personally when I was studying this, was knowing the time. I know the time. I know what is to come, but how is that impacting my walk with the Lord? When we read this, we understand what is being spoken of here. But the challenge is, am I living as someone who knows the time? Does knowing the time drive my life? Does knowing the time impact the decisions that I'm making in my life? Do we pay attention when the Bible says, and so, because we know the time, the instructions that follow, do we pay attention to those instructions? If you are here tonight, or if you are listening online and you don't know what the time is, allow me this moment to explain a little bit of what this is. The Bible talks about the Lord's return, in which those in Christ will be caught up to be with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Verses, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is a clear description of what... So this is the when the Lord is returning, and there is a clear description in the Word as well of what the times will be like before His return. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1-5, it talks about... we'll read that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2 and 4, it says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." The Bible mentions the last days as the days before his return. And in these verses we've just read describes what those last days are going to be like. We see without natural affection, we've just seen some atrocities recently. Attacks on innocent people yesterday has shocked the world. And you hear often, this wouldn't have happened years ago. This is something recent, and it's true. Sin has seeped deeper and deeper into humanity. It's revealing itself in so many evil ways today, more so than it has in years gone by. And we know we'll continue to do so as we get closer to his return. We are in the time where the Lord's return is imminent. While we do not know when it will happen, we do know that it will happen at any time. So if you are listening to this tonight, if you are here or if you're online or maybe in the future you may be listening to this, where are you before the Lord? If the Lord were to come back tonight, where would you stand? Would you be caught up with him to meet him? Or would you be left? Challenge is, do not stand idly by. Be sure of your salvation tonight and come to Christ. His desire is that you would come to Christ, that all men would come to Christ. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord's will is that all will return and repent and come to him. Thankfully, salvation is not something that we need to hope for, or salvation is something that we, well, let's hope and see, or I hope I'm good enough. You can be sure of it. Now, you may think you have time. I'm sure the six people yesterday thought they had time. But in the context of eternity, life is just a blink of the eye. Make sure of your salvation tonight. If we go back to verse 11 in Romans 13, knowing the time, so he's saying, and that, knowing the time, Paul is using this phrase to contextualize a challenge that he is about to give. And it is a strong challenge to all readers. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And that, knowing the time, and so we know the time, wake up. Knowing full well that God is returning one day, that we are not here forever, that our time here is but a vapor, that God has promised to return, it is time to wake out of sleep. Because the return is closer now than it has ever been. He says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." And I said it before, the Lord's return is closer to us today than it was yesterday, and it will be closer again tomorrow than it was today. Is it not time to wake up? Is it not time for us to wake up? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Read verse 5 to 8. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." In Romans and in these verses in 1 Thessalonians, it is clearly speaking or talking about sleep in a spiritual sense. Being shut off and unaware or perhaps ignorant of what is happening around us. Preferring to seek the comfort and the coziness of apathy towards spiritual things. Almost like turning off the alarm of this spiritual battle and remaining blissfully ignorant. And that knowing the time. And so knowing the time, knowing how close we are to the Lord's return, some remain sleeping. While there are guns going off in a spiritual battle, some remain sleeping. And I was thinking, I know that sometimes, and I did this as a kid, that sometimes kids pretend to sleep to get out of chores, maybe on a Saturday morning, or having to do something, hoping to, if they pretend to sleep, that they would generate some pity from their parents, and that they would let them sleep, maybe sleeping with one eye open and hoping they would get that. You know, are we spiritually ignoring the call to awake and act? Or are we simply remaining sleeping, spiritually sleeping, with one eye open? Hopefully the things go past. Choosing the comfort and coziness of ignorance over the battle we are called to. In 1 Thessalonians, the challenge is not only to wake up, to not sleep, but to be vigilant, to be watching. To wake up out of your slumber, to rub your eyes, to be alert, to be ready. Because we can be awake, but are we watching in sobriety? The call is to be awake and to be watching. We need to demonstrate discipline, awake out of sleep. Something that requires discipline, that requires going against what is natural to us, to awake out of it. I'm not very disciplined. I'm trying to be more disciplined, and I came across a ex-Navy SEAL commander who trains people, travels the world on, you know, discipline, and he says the best way to train yourself to get up at 5:30 every morning and be ready for the day is to get up at 5:30 every morning. So I was like, okay, the best way to do it is just to do it. The challenge is to be awake. To be awake and not allow anything to take control or remove control from you to be able to do so. Be as a watchman, ready and in control, alert to signs, alert to attacks, willing to notify others, understanding what the enemy looks like, understanding the danger of falling asleep. This takes discipline. It's not something that I claim to have, but it takes discipline. But how important is it that in our lives that we are awake and that we are watching? Back in Romans 13, Paul continues in verse 12. It says, to awake and prepare thyself. There is preparation required as we awake from this spiritual slumber. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. The day is at hand. That which requires our attention is at hand. Awaken with the purpose, brethren, because the time where we are required is at hand. It has arrived. And it is that urgency that we are to approach the coming out of slumber. And we are to do so with purposeful actions. First one is that we are to cast off the works of darkness. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Casting those things which are attributed to this world off. Casting those things off. The works of darkness, the sinfulness of this world are the works of darkness. And we see the seriousness in these next few verses. I'll just read these, you don't have to turn there. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 3:20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deed may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Ephesians 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. God is light, and walking in the darkness, put simply, is walking contrary to him. There are no levels of darkness. There is not, oh, this is not as dark as that. There are no levels of darkness spoken of here, but rather a clear contrast between light and dark. And more importantly, there is a description of the position that we put ourselves in when we are in fellowship with darkness. It talks about that those that hateth the light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And who is the light? Our Saviour. Our Saviour is the light. So if we think about it, living like someone who hates, when we walk in the darkness, we are living like someone who hates the Saviour. That is why we are called not to have any fellowship with it, not to partake of it in any way. If you think about it, one cannot exist if the other is around. You cannot dabble with bits of darkness. Darkness cannot exist if there is light. Darkness can abound if the light is dim, but that is a sad Christian walk. Brethren, if you are living with the works of darkness, if there is known sin in your life, are you living a life with a dim light? 1 John 1:5 says, Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Our aim is to walk in light, not darkness. And if we say we are walking in the light, but in the darkness, we are living a lie. Our goal is perfection. But obviously, you are not going to attain it until we see him in glory, but what about blamelessness? And in Ephesians 4, we can read about that which characterizes the old man, and that's that which we are to remove, or that which we are to cast off. And I can read it tonight, but if there is no walk with the Lord, that just becomes a list. That just becomes something that we read and doesn't mean anything. And our true understanding of what it is to walk in the light will come from a fervent, wholehearted, passionate love for the Lord that drives you to him, that is driven to be like him, and that drive to be like him will reveal the darkness that still remains in us. Walking with the Lord and him revealing the darkness in your life is the most powerful way to walk in the light. And when we are living like that, and when we read Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23 and it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or we read 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 where it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, or Colossians 3:8 where it says, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. When you read those things, you read it with a stronger sense of conviction. It no longer becomes just a list, but there's convictions there, and you're understanding what is being asked of you. It is a longer lasting change when it comes from a fervent walk with the Lord, a fervent love for the Lord. So we see that it says to cast off the works of darkness. Then he says, let us put on the armor of light. We are to continue the prep for the day by putting on the armor of light. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. the armor of God. So we have awakened from our slumber. We have removed that which has tied us down. And now we are to prepare for the enemy. That same enemy of darkness, or the rulers of darkness, no less. Brethren, the spiritual battle is one that we know is upon us. But unlike other battles, we don't know when the attacks will come. We don't know where the front will be, but we know that they will come. We don't know where the battle will be fought. We don't know how we will be attacked. But we do know that our protection is not within us, but with our God and with light. The armor of light. And light defeats darkness. You do not fight a war on land by joining the navy, nor do you fight a battle against darkness with our own aspects of darkness in our old man. It is with the armor of light that we are able to fight. Now, I sometimes look around and I see the battle going around and think how grateful I am that the Lord promises to make a way for us to stand against the wiles of the devil, the cunning arts, the trickery, the deceit of the enemy in his attacks against me. He's doing all these things to trick me up. But thankfully, I am able to put on the armor of light and protect myself against that. Praise God, I do not need to face them alone. Then he says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Now there is a theme in Paul's writings distinguishing those who are of the darkness and night and those who are in the day and in the light. And we see back in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 verse 5, it says, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now he puts two images together again in Romans 13. He's doing the same thing here. The negative connotations to those who wander in the night. Walk honestly as in the day. Do not walk as those in the darkness of night. Do not walk as if you have something to hide, but rather decently with one whose testimony is pointing to the Saviour. Honestly. Now, I thought about this. It's interesting because we can apply this today, this warning about those who wander in the night and the issues and the drunkenness and the chambering and wantonness that happens in the night. This is a practical application for us, maybe for the young people tonight. I know that there's some nights when Amy and I have come home from dinner in the city at 9 o'clock and people are going out at 9 o'clock. We are not people of the night. We are people of the day. He paints the picture though, doesn't it? The separation, the clear divide between that which we are called to be and that which our nature wants us to be, or that which the darkness of this world wants. Verse 14 is a great summary for us tonight. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Christ ultimately is our example, as we walk the path God has prepared for us. And there's a Matthew Henry comment on this verse, and he says, be not careful about the body. Our great care must be to provide for our souls. Isn't that what gets us or gets me into trouble? The care for the body and not for the soul. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those who have put their faith in Christ are called Christians. We are followers of Christ. So, brethren, if you are a Christian, you are identifying yourself as a follower of Christ. Christ himself is saying that those who are to follow him are to deny themselves and take up their cross. Where are we tonight? So, closing off, just to go back to verse 11. It says, knowing the time, we know the time that we live in. And we've just seen what's happened in our own city. The hideousness of sin is growing. We've seen the attacks on Israel as well from Iran that has just happened. And allied forces are intervening and shooting missiles down. We know the time that we are in, brethren. It is clear. But is it time for us to awake out of our sleep? Brethren, let us be people who cast off darkness, put on the armour of light, walk honestly, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ as we seek to be followers of him. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, as we see your return, Lord, coming closer and closer, Father, we can take comfort in knowing that you are with us, and Lord, that you, Lord, will give us the strength to continue. I pray that we will be, Lord, continually seeking you, Father, to be more like you, Lord, that we would seek strength in you, Lord, that you would reveal the darkness in us, Lord, that we would be more, that we'll be a brighter light, Lord, as this world gets darker, Lord, that we would be able to be an example to those around us, Lord, seeking, Father, something, Lord, that we would reflect you, that we would reflect your love, and Lord, that we would clearly, Lord, present, Lord, the truth of your word to them. Again, thank you for your word. We thank you for the power in it. We pray these things in your name.